Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Dayo Radha Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Dayo Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Dayo Radha Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Gaura Premanande Jan Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prajagacharya Stotra Sashi Shimat Chidani Goswami Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Jan Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prajagacharya Stotra Sashi Shimat Chidani Goswami Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki Jaya Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jaya Premasika Ho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gaur Thana Ki Jaya Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jaya Maipur Dham Ki Jaya Navadvipa Dham Ki Jaya Ganga Maya Ki Jaya Yamuna Maya Ki Jaya Bhakti Devi Ki Jaya Tulasi Maharani Ki Jaya Nitai Gaura Premanande Haribo Samayeta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jaya All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Shishi Guru Ranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, as you understand, today we're going to read from Bhagavad Gita. Well, although today is a disappearance of Madhvacharya, and this one might think that it's not very appropriate verse, but in the course of our class, you will understand how it's connect. There is connection, of course, but today we're going to talk mostly... Well, of course, the pastimes of Madhvacharya, it's unlimited. You can speak about Madhvacharya's leelas for days, and it's so many wonderful pastimes of Madhvacharya. And but mostly, I'm gonna make a point mostly on the philosophy of Madhvacharya. And we're going to talk about What is the difference between Madhvacharya's teachings and Lord Chaitanya teachings? Also, of course, few prominent pastimes of Madhvacharya and his Tattvavada. So I decided to read this second verse from the chapter 4, and we can do it quickly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam parampara parampara praptam. Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. Sakalineha Mahata. Yogo Nashtah Parantapa. Evam parampara praptam. Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. Sakalineha Mahata. Yogo Nashtah Parantapa. Please chant. Mataji's, please. Evam, thus, parampara, by disciplic succession, praptam, received, imam, these signs, rajarshaya, the saintly kings, viduhu, understood, saha, that knowledge, kalena, in the course of time, iha, in this world, Mahata, great, Yoga, the science of one's relationship with the Supreme, Nashtaha, scattered, Parantapa, O Arjuna, subduer of the enemies. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This supreme science was thus received through the chain of disciplic succession, and the saintly kings understood it in that way. But in course of time, the succession was broken, and therefore the science, as it appears to be lost. Purport. It is clearly stated that the Gita was especially meant for the saintly kings because they were to execute its purpose in ruling over the citizens. Certainly, Bhagavad Gita was never meant for the demonic persons who would dissipate its value for one's for no one's benefit and would devise all types of interpretations according to personal whims. As soon as the original purpose was scattered by the motifs of the unscrupulous commentators, there arose the need to re-establish the disciplic succession. 5,000 years ago, it was detected by the Lord himself that the disciplic succession was broken, and therefore he declared that the purpose of the Gita appeared to be lost. In the same way, at the present moment also, there are so many editions of the Gita, especially in English, but almost all of them are not according to authorized disciplic succession. There are innumerable interpretations rendered by the different mundane scholars, but almost all of them do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, although they make a good business on the words of Sri Krishna. This spirit is demonic, because demons do not believe in God, but simply enjoy the property of the Supreme. Since there, it is a great need of an edition of the Gita in English, as it's received by Parampara, disciplic succession system. An attempt is made herewith to fulfill this great want. Bhagavad Gita, accepted as it is a great boon to humanity, but if it is accepted as a treatise of philosophical speculation, it is simply a waste of time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Gyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunitam Natasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lanigayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurun Dinatharanam Ajana Lambita Bujokana Kavadato Sankirtanayaka Pitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishwambaro Dvijavaro Yuga Dharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karuna Avataro. So today is a holiday. So I guess nobody need to go to work, and I have a big material, so maybe we'll finish at 9 or maybe 10. Sorry. And also, please forgive me for my bad English. I know it will be suffering a lot. Okay, so today is the disappearance of Madhvacharya. And for the Vaishnavas, actually, the disappearance is more important than appearance of the Vaishnava. Who knows why? Maybe somebody knows. Why is the disappearance considered more important than appearance of the Vaishnavas?
To Radha Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anything else? Mm-hmm.
I heard that on the disappearance days we recount the glories of the great personalities. When they disappear, their glories are established. They've done what they've come to do, and we can recall their glories. Whereas on the appearance days, we don't, you know, yet. Supposedly, we don't yet know what they're going to do because it's just they just appear.
Right. Yeah. Almost the same. I want to say. Yeah. That when the Vaishnavas comes, appears on this earth, they didn't do anything prominent yet to glorify for. No, people don't know them. They might be great soul mahatmas, but you know, they didn't do yet. They didn't manifest their power yet. So, but when they disappear, they already done a lot for the humanity, for the whole conditioned souls. They distributed this eternal knowledge. So in that sense, so disappearance glorifies. More than appearance, because they did a lot for that, for the all the conditioned souls. So today is the Madhvacharya's disappearance day, and actually the Madhvacharya is one of those who, as we understand from the purport, today's purport, that he re-established that parampara system, which was been lost at that time, at his time, during the when he appeared on the earth. Even though, at that time there was a very prominent philosophy, was, as we know, Shankaracharya's philosophy, Mayavada philosophy, very powerful philosophy, and Madhvacharya appearance in a book written by Narayan Pandit Goswami, Narayan Pandit Acharya, the son of one of the close disciples of Madhvacharya, Trivikram Pandit Acharya. He wrote a beautiful poem in Sanskrit called Madhva Vijaya, and he explained in that Madhva Vijaya many wonderful pastimes of Madhvacharya. So in this book he said, he's explained a lot of details about him. So according for the purpose, today's purpose, to this verse, Bhagavad Gita's first chapter, verse number 2, Srila Prabhupada explained in a commentary that 5,000 years ago this chain of disciplic succession was lost. So the through the parampara system we can get the connection to the Supreme Lord, and through that connection we can get the enough power, enough power to get to connect to the spiritual energy, to stop this force of illusory energy of the Lord. We need some power in order to get have enough strength to, what the verse, I forgot. All right. So, and for that purpose, we need the disciplic succession, the parampara system. And this actually, parampara system always get washed or erosion. You know that verse, erosion by some commentators. So actually, this erosion going on every day in our life, little by little. Our disciplic succession, our parampara, get erased by, eroding. Yeah, by this most of the speculative commentators. And it's not like one might think that some atheist or other Mayavadis or somebody else. No, this has been done by our own people who think that they are right, but they they deviate little by little. At the end, we can see the big huge gap in the philosophy. That's why it's very important to be strict to our philosophy, and maintain the principle to follow the parampara system. And because this is a parampara system, it's a pure sound which purify our hearts, which gives us the strength to somehow stay in this material world, and at the same time not be attached to this world. And Srila Prabhupada, in one of the purports, explained The last sutra of Vedanta Sutra, Anavriti Shabdat, Anavriti Shabdat, he said that this is pure pure spiritual sound. It has a power to give us liberation from suffering of this material world, pure sound. But when this sound is contaminated, he's losing its power. So that's why we can chant the mantra. If it's not pure, we can chant for millions of years. And everything actually everything start contamination starts from the ether, from the very subtle element of this material world, the ether. So when we know that if the ether is, so how is the ether is contaminated? It's contaminated by some selfish sounds. And it is said that from the subtle to the gross, it goes the contamination going on. So first the subtle, the ether gets contaminated by some bad sounds. Then the air got contaminated. Then the water. Then the fire. The fire. The water, etc. And the earth. All this little by little, this contamination going on. And you know, this sometimes this the loss of the humanity, it's changing so much that it's so degraded. It's and only because it's some contamination of the contamination of the ether, then all these five gross elements, then contamination of the mind, then contamination of the desires. So when the desires contaminate, its whole world is become very difficult to live in. And it's very hard to stay Krishna consciousness, and it's hard to stay even the human being. Some people are already turning into the animalistic consciousness, even in human body. So Krishna explains here that 5,000 years ago, this yoga, the chain was seems to be lost, and 700 years also. This yoga was lost at that time. 800 years ago was lost when Madhvacharya appeared. And so this connection of the jiva and the Supreme Lord should be always re-established. Every time, renew this consciousness in order to that power to continue to bring the benefit for all the humanity. And Srila Prabhupada, he said in that commentary to this verse that he said that in a pain in his heart, that I didn't find any good commentary on the Gita. And Srila Prabhupada also came to re-establish that. This one powerful acharya comes to re-establish that lost parampara system. And today's ninth day of the bright moon, bright month of Magga, celebrated by the Vaishnavas in the whole world as the disappearance of Madhvacharya, Shripad Madhvacharya. So he left this world when he was 79 years old, in the age of 13-17. So at that time he was sitting on the asana in the temple of Ananteshwara Mahadev in Udupi. This is very famous temple in Udupi. So he was chanting his favorite Upanishad from Rig Veda, Aitareya Upanishad. And he was reciting wonderfully this Upanishad, Aitareya Upanishad, and the people gathered around him. He was very popular at that time. He was 79 years old, and he was he has a lot of disciples and a lot of followers. And he was reciting that Upanishad, and you know, his main mudra is like that. He was doing, that means Jiva and God. He's boldly preaching about refuting the Mayavada philosophy, and the demigods and heavenly denizens of the heaven, they just came to listen his recitation, because he did it so wonderfully, so beautifully. And the people who was sitting listening to him in the temple room, sitting listening to him in temple room, they heard the beautiful voices coming down from the sky, and the beautiful voices glorifying Madhvacharya, Madhvacharya ki jai, all glories to Madhvacharya, and they start dropping the flower petals on him. And the listeners who was surrounding him, they was so much astonished and stunned that imagine if you listen to somebody and start all of a sudden the flower petals come from the sky. It's a very amazing scene. So they heard, and these flower petals start dropping on Madhvacharya. And Madhvacharya, he looks like he don't even care about that glorification. He was continue preaching. He was preaching and talking about wonderful Aitareya Upanishad. And this pile of flower petals become so huge that it's covered him completely. Completely covered him. And he continued speaking. He didn't care about what happened around him. So the pile of the flower petals become so big that even disappeared himself. Madhvacharya disappeared under that flower petals, huge pile. And at some point, the sound of beautiful Madhvacharya's voice stopped, and all the people they was amazed. How come that they was also completely forgot everything? But when they hear that the stop of the speaking of Madhvacharya, the senior disciples who was around him, they rushed to that pile and start moving that flower petals, and they starting to throw that flower petals on everybody's in the auditory. And this auditory was very grateful to accept that flower petals. They put it to the head, to the forehead, smelling was in ecstasy. But the disciples was taking out these petals, and they found that there was nobody inside that that pile. He disappeared. It is said that he went to that eternal Uttara Badrinath, where no ordinary people could see. He went back to see his eternal spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva, and sitting at the feet of great sage Naranarayana Rishi to discuss that philosophy. So it is explained by Narayan Panditacharya in his Madhva Vijaya. It's wonderful, wonderful story of his disappearance. Madhvacharya himself, he's saying in his great work called Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya, where he explained it's big work. He explained Mahabharata and explained Ramayana also in that work. He explained that the great souls comes to this when the great souls come or some demigod or some powerful acharya comes to this world, he doesn't stay here for the long time. As soon as he finishes his mission, he's leaving right away. So just like yeah, they're not staying here for a long time. They're doing their mission and leaving. Because the great souls, they don't feel real happiness. It's very difficult for them to stay in this material world for a long time. And as soon as they do their mission, they leave. The same thing as we go to the bathroom, to the restroom, we do our mission and leave right away. So so the great soul is also very difficult for them to stay for a long time. They're leaving right after that. So after some time, when he was about 70 years old, he felt that his mission was over. And I'm going to tell the story about how he get this first impulse for the preaching mission, for the renunciation also. We know that he took sannyas at the age of, some said at 12, but Madhva Vijaya said he took sannyas at 10, when he was 10 years old. So when he was 3 years old, he was he went to his parents took him to the wedding ceremony in a neighbor village when he was 3 years old. And you know what the people do on this wedding ceremony? They're speaking. They're just talking about this got divorced, this died, this got get birth, all kinds of gramya katha. And when the parents took him to that wedding ceremony, he was he felt very boring there. And he said, Mommy, can we go back? I don't like it here. So his mother was, she didn't see her relatives for a long time, so she need to speak to her relatives, and she didn't care about her son. So the little Vasudev, his name was Vasudev, and he get got he took birth. He was named by name Vasudev, and so he decided to go away from by himself without the permission of the mother. So his mother forget about him and start talking to the relatives, and he went. Inspired, it is said that inspired by the Lord, he went to see his worshipable Lord. First, he went, 3 years old boy, he went to another temple of Lord Shiva, which is a couple miles away from that place. He went there and he bowed down to that deity. It is explained in Madhva Vijaya that he actually bowed down to Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu himself, because he saw in the form of Lord Shiva's deity, he saw Lord Narayana, and he worshipped Lord Narayana actually to the deity of Shiva. Actually, this temple Ananteshwara it's also Lord Narayan residing in that Ananteshwara temple in the form of Shiva Lingam. This is an amazing temple of Lord Vishnu in the form of Shiva Lingam. So the story of that that temple Ananteshwara, that it's when Parashuram he worshiping Lord Shiva as his martial arts guru. And Lord Shiva, he worshipped him and to give as a kind of dakshina, Guru Dakshina to his worshipful Lord, Lord Shiva, Lord Parashuram, he said, I'm gonna make this unity to show to everybody that just to give you my good wishes to you,
blessings.
Yeah, my blessings, kind of. Yeah, it will be unity. So I will enter to that deity of Lord Shiva, of your deity, and it will become Lord Vishnu's temple in the form of your Shiva Lingam. So it's kind of together, but this is actually worshipped by the people as to Lord Narayan. So he went to the little Vasudev when he was 3 years old. He went to that temple and bowed down to that deity. And then by inspiration of the Lord, he said he went to another temple of Lord Shiva called Chandramauleshwara. So it's another couple miles from that place, alone, 3 years old boy. He went through the big forest, dense forest, alone. And finally, after second stop, he went to that famous temple, Ananteshwara. And he started, he sat down there and start preaching. So, and at that time, his father, Madhyageha Bhatta, by the way, the Madhyageha Bhatta, actually, Narayan Pandit Acharya explained that Madhyageha Bhatta, that's not actually the real name of the father of Madhvacharya, because Madhyageha means that actually, from translation from Sanskrit, means that his house was in the middle of the village. Madhyageha, Madhya, middle, Geha, house. So he said that the real name of Madhyageha Bhatta was Narayana Bhatta. So he went to that. Madhyageha Bhatta, he found out that his son is missing, and he started looking everywhere for his son, and he started asking everybody around him, "Where is my son? Where is my son?" And he started running around, and some of the people told him, "Yeah, we saw your boy, some little boy walking in that direction." And they show him that temple. Then he went to that temple. Finally, he, after some time, he found. And that distance, it says around 8 kilometers he walked through alone from that place. And when Madhyageha Bhatta saw him, finally, in the temple of Ananteshwara, he found that little Vasudev sitting in a big crowd, surrounded by the crowd, and he was preaching something. Preaching, and he said, "Listen, people, don't you forget that you are eternal servant of the Lord. You have to surrender to Lord Narayana." And Madhyageha Bhatta was so much disturbed by that, and he was as soon as he heard his son speaking, and the crowd was so big that he said, let me go, this is my son, that my son." And the crowd said, "Who is your son? This also our son," because so they're so much excited by that. But and they didn't let him go through that that crowd. And but Madhyageha Bhatta, he knew the weak sides of his son, and he shouted, "My dear Vasudev, it's time to eat. Please come to eat." And Vasudev, he forgot about his preaching and said, "Papi, yeah, please give me something to eat." So he took his son to the hand with the hands and said, "Oh, I'm very happy that I found you. How did you get here?" He said, "Well, I was inspired by the by Supreme Lord." So he said he was very much amazed by that. So this so many stories about Madhvacharya, amazing stories. So we know that every child supposed to go through many samskara ceremonies, which is very important for the person. So it's explained in Madhavijaya, explained that how he went through one of the important samskara of first grain. The first grain when he took, when the children, when they're 6 months years old, six months old, they get in first beans. So it happened that his mother, Vasudev's mother, was very busy and she had to go somewhere out of house. So she went away and she gave her son under the babysitting to her daughter, another way, to sister of Vasudev, yeah. So she took care of him. But all of a sudden, after some time, he started shouting, screaming, crying. And since the mother was not around, she didn't know what to do, and she started shaking him, doing something that he would be quiet, and he continued to screaming and crying. And so finally she left him alone in the home and went away to get her mother to come back and feed him or something, do something. At that time little Vasudeva, he saw some big huge bag, huh?
Chickpeas.
Barrel, it's a horse food. It's cooked for horse food. It is explained that it was 40 kilos there. So finally, little Vasudev crawled to that food, horse food, and he ate all 40 kgs of that food. It was, after some time, was very happy. So when the mother and her sister came back and they saw smiling Vasudeva and was very happy. He was very happy to do that first grain ceremony. So he did it for himself without anybody's help. But as soon as he saw her mother, after some time, he started crying, and she put him to her breast and started feeding with the breast. So he drank after that forcehood more milk after that. So that is a very wonderful story about how he get. His father started thinking, oh, he overate. He said he ate so much grains. Maybe it will become. He will become bad after some time, so he started chanting some mantras, something, a lot of mantras to protect him. But little Vasudev, he didn't understand what's going on. And it is said that Madhya Geha Bhatta and his wife Vedavati, when they decided to get the son, they want the son in the best son. So they decided to get the son devoid of all rajas and tamas. So they decided to fast, as it is explained in 8th canto, Payavrata ceremony, in 16th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, explained Payavrata ceremony made by Aditi. Madhya Geha Bhatta and Vedavati, they started to do this Payavrata ceremony drinking only milk for 12 years. So for 12 years they did it, and so that, and all the tamas and rajas disappeared from their body. So at that time they decided to conceive the best child. So also it is explained that in Madhva Vijaya explained that actually the Madhvacharya, who is the original Mukhya Prana, he has so much power that he don't need to stay in the womb of that mother. He didn't want to suffer to stay in the womb for 9 months, and he just sent some other soul to stay there for 9 months and grow in there. And when this baby came out of the womb, the Mukhya Prana entered that child, and that soul left that body. So that means he didn't suffer from staying in the womb for 9 months. As we know, the Mukhya Prana, this is original life air force. According to Tattvavadis, or according to Madhvacharya's Sampradaya, the Mukhya Prana actually on a level of Brahma. It's not like a regular Vayu death, which we know, because there are two Vayus. One is the regular Vayu that we know, god of wind, demigod wind, is called Bhuta Vayu. And this original Vayu is actually Mukhya Prana Vayu, the original, who is the controller of the air force, all the five doshas that inside our body, prana, apana, samana, vyana, and udana, these five life airs, he's controlling that. Actually, it is said that only by his power, all the universe is maintaining by the Mukhya Prana, because it's life airs, even of the demigods. If he decided to stop breathing, all the demigods will die. So, according to Madhvacharya system, philosophy, he's on the same level as Brahma. Because, well, it explains too philosophical, you're going to fall asleep if I start talking about that creation when the Mukhya Prana appeared. It's very philosophical, deep philosophical work of our acharyas. So another occasion when his father was, we know that Vasudeva, little Vasudeva, he was very, 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 very nice in declaring all the shlokas, declaring a perfect sound vibration of the Vedas. He knew all this from very beginning of his life. And on one occasion, his father, Madhya Gehabhata, was explaining to his villagers, to his friends, also very learned brahmanas, explained something from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he explained the Kailash mountain, Kailash, where there is explanation of different kind of plants. He started to explain that particular verse. He explained that there are Amalaki fruit, Amalaki tree, banyan tree, all kind of different lotuses. And Madhya Gehabhata, he explained everything, but he didn't know one word. One word, what does it mean? And he decided, well, if I'm not explained, nobody will notice even. But after he did that, at the end, his little Vasudeva raised his hand and said, "My dear father, why did you miss that word? The word called Likucha. Likucha, one of the words that his father didn't know what that mean." And his father says, "Yeah, I missed that that word because I don't know what was that means." And Vasudeva start laughing and said, "Well, father, this is a lemon tree, Likucha, from the Sanskrit. It's called lemon tree." And the people in the auditory, the learned brahmanas also said that, how come that the son knows more than his father? Little Vasudeva said, "Well, what do you think? It's he even doesn't know the four ashramas. What to speak of that meaning of Likucha tree?" It's connected to another story. When little Vasudeva started preaching, when he was around 6-7 years old, he was preaching boldly. And those who are listening to him, they start talking after some time, they start talking among each other. You have to take sannyas, you have to take sannyas, take sannyas. And he didn't know what that at that time. So he asked his father after some time, you know that people asking me to take sannyas, my dear father, could you explain to me what that sannyas means? And his father afraid that if he will explain about sannyas, he will take sannyas and leave him. So he said, well, actually, sannyas means some fruit. Some fruit. So if you, they're asking you to take some fruit, sannyas. So he said, okay, fruit, okay. And so after some time, finally he found what sannyas means, and that story with the likucha, he said he didn't know even what sannyasa means, what to speak of that likucha. Because, yeah. So, okay, so there are so many stories about that, about the Madhvacharya, but Madhvacharya, when he was about 8 years old, 8-9 years old, started looking for the guru. For the guru, and he heard that there is in a neighbor village, there is a great saint, Achyuta Preksha. He also was in the school of Mayavada, but actually he was a great devotee. His gurus, Achyuta Preksha's guru, he was also Mayavadi, but this was a tradition that they teach Mayavada, but actually they wasn't convinced in Mayavada fully. On a deathbed, they usually ask their disciples to come closer and said, well, forget about this that I taught you. Mayavada, this is all bogus. Because actually we are not God, we never become God, and this is all strange philosophy. And they usually die. But Achyuta Preksha's guru, he called over him and said, I'm dying right now, and I order you to look for the real path of devotion, to worship, because our philosophy is not really good. And I order you to get better teachings. Because I'm not satisfied with that, Mayavada philosophy myself. And he started thinking, what's that, how to fulfill my spiritual master order to worship proper philosophy, find proper philosophy. And finally he said, your disciple will teach you how to worship Lord Narayana. So his disciple was Ananda Tirtha, another name of Madhvacharya. So he taught him, actually. He converted him into Vaishnavism. So when he took sannyas at the age of 10 or 12, sometimes they said, Achyuta Preksha was so happy to give him sannyas. Ceremony was very wonderful, that he gave him sannyas and and put him on his neck and start jumping with him. Jai, jai. Imagine that spiritual master initiate somebody and put his disciple on the neck and start jumping, jai, jai, into sannyasis. So that's amazing. Right after that, he started refuting all kinds of philosophy, Mayavada philosophy. Actually, the whole mission of Madhvacharya was to refute Mayavada philosophy. That's why Lord Chaitanya accepted the initiation in the line of Madhvacharya, because he, as a offering, a respect to the Madhvacharya, he took, because he was fighting with the Mayavadis. Well, we know that in our Sampradaya also, that in a second part of Srila Prabhupada Pranam, that Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachana Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. So Srila Prabhupada came to get rid of this philosophy, Shunyavada and Mayavada Nirvishesha. this is in line. It's 5 minutes to nine. So I just say shortly about the four sampradayas. So actually, our sampradaya is a little different from all these four sampradaya, and who knows who is our Vedanta Acharya? Yeah, Baladeva Bhushan. Yeah, and he wrote this Govinda Bhashya, taught by Govindaji himself, the deity of Lord Rupa Goswami. So our school of teaching called Achindya Bheda Bheda Tattva, inconceivable oneness and difference. So Brahma Sampradaya, which Madhva comes from, he wrote a commentary called Purna Pragya Bhashya, and his philosophy, Shuddha Dvaita Vada, purified dualism. Purified dualism means it's explained that according to the creation and God, the God is independent on his creation, but creation is dependent on him. So Sri Sampradaya is a Ramanuja. This is he wrote Sri Bhashya, and another school of his school of philosophy called Vishishtadvaitavada, specific monism. It's also specific monism means that he's not actually preaching the Mayavada, but he said that the jiva belonged to God, and it's kind of together with God because it belonged to God, but they're of course separate. Then Rudra Sampradaya, Vishnu Swami wrote Sarvagya Bhashya, his philosophy called Shuddha Dvaita Vada, purified monism. And Kumara Sampradaya, Nimbarka Acharya, he wrote Parijata Saurabha Bhashya, and his philosophy called Dvaita Dvaita, monism and dualism together at the same time. And in the Padma Purana, there is a prediction verse which said that in Utkal Purushottama, these four sampradaya will synthesize and become one and will benefit the whole world. So actually, the Lord Chaitanya came and he synthesized that four sampradaya. It is explained he took from each sampradaya, he took two principles. Lord Chaitanya, in order to synthesize his sampradaya, he took, for example, from Madhva, he took the mood, kind of mood of refuting impersonal philosophy and worshipping the deities. He took from Madhvacharya. He was very much satisfied with it. From Ramanuja, he took two principles. One is the pure devotion, which is devoid of karma and jnana. Another is Vaishnava Seva. Another means. So from Vishnu Swami or Rudra Sampradaya, he took the mood of a complete submission to Krishna, the first one, and second one, Raga Bhakti path. And from Nimbarka, he took two principles. One is the highest form of devotion is love to the gopis, is a love of the gopis to Krishna, and second one is necessity to find shelter at Srimati Radharani. So this, we know that famous Maha Mantra of the Kumara Sampradaya, we chant Hare Krishna, they chant Radhe Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Radhe Radhe, Radhe Shyam, Radhe Shyam, Shyam Shyam, Radhe Radhe. This is their Maha Mantra. So, and Lord Chaitanya, he was appreciating Madhvacharya, that's why he took initiation in that Sampradaya, although there is a few differences between Madhva Sampradaya and our Sampradaya, Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya, while traveling in South India, he went to Udupi and he met the successor, the acharya of the Madhvas, Tattvavadis, he started talking to him. He was, Lord Chaitanya was very humble. He approached that acharya and said, could you please explain to me the sadhana and sadhya? Could you please explain to me the goal of life and the means to achieve that goal? So that, of course, there is so many details how he came into the Tattvavadi's temple in Udupi Krishna. He saw the Nartaka Gopala deity. He saw the dancing Gopala in Udupi. He saw him, and he started dancing also, and tears come from his eyes. And the Tattvavadis, they looked kind of very proud at him. Oh, who is that Mayavadi? So Lord Chaitanya felt that something wrong in this temple. But finally, they understood that he is a Vaishnava. That so they invited him, gave him respect, and they asked his acharya to come down and explain to him the philosophy that Lord Chaitanya asked him, what's the sadhana, what's the sadhya. So that acharya, he explained to Lord Chaitanya, okay, so our sadhya, the goal of life, is actually liberation, moksha. Liberation, go to spiritual world. And the second thing was amazing that he said the means to achieve that is a varnashrama system. Varnashrama, if you do your duty perfectly in varnashrama system, then you get liberation. And you satisfy in such a way, you'll satisfy the Lord and you'll get liberation, go to the spiritual world, Vaikuntha. But Lord Chaitanya wasn't really satisfied with that philosophy. He said, oh, but I thought the revealed scriptures explain that Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the highest goal of life is Krishna Prema and love of Godhead. And means to achieve that is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevam, Archanam, Vandam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. So he started explaining to that. And that acharya said, yeah, actually you're right, but because our tradition is like that, we just follow that that tradition from Madhvacharya that Madhvacharya gave us. And there is actually, yeah, there is a, when Madhvacharya, when he left nine postulates, nine truths after himself. That nine truths, it's actually also the base of that truth when the Baladeva Vidyabhushan and Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to make our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. They also based on these nine truths, but they explain in a little different way, especially six prameya, which Madhvacharya left after himself. It was so much difference, because Madhvacharya actually he said that the constitutional position of the jiva could be in three types of jiva. Actually, he said there are sattvika jivas, rajasika jivas, and tamasika jivas. That means that they cannot change their status. So that is a little difference from Madhvacharya's line. But according to Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, that the jiva, it's their condition under the three modes of material nature is temporary. So that means that the jiva can change their status and start developing their pure devotion. Of course, in the teachings of Madhvacharya, it's not like completely contradictory, but there is a hint that there is always some progression towards. So Baladeva Vidyabhushan and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained that point from point of view of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Another little difference between Madhvacharya and Madhvacharya's line and our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya line, that Madhvacharya said that the highest manifestation of devotion to God is the love of Lakshmi Devi towards Narayana. Although in Lord Chaitanya's line, we know that the highest manifestation of bhakti is manifested in gopis of Vrindavana, in that mood of parakiya rasa. So that few differences, but not very big. But in reality, actually, the Lord our Sampradaya, Brahma Matva Gaudiya Sampradaya, has a connection with the Madhva Sampradaya only formally, but it's not actually the reality. It's only formality to that, to his philosophy. But we can understand that when the Madhvacharya came to this world, at that time, the India was very much structurized structurized society with the classes, Brahma, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudras. And according to the time, place, and circumstances, the Madhvacharya brought that approach, delivered his preaching according to that, maybe because of that. Sorry, it's already too late. I have a lot of material, but maybe anybody has any questions or comments.
The publics and the disciples asked, so how can you say, he proposed that, look, if I'm a Brahman above the three modes, and why am I suffering now, old age, is that? So then they say, well, how would you say this is not proper, then we should follow some other devotional guru? They propose this. So Madhvacharya, that time Vasudev, small boy, he says, to a blind followers, new idea is a criminal. That's why you cannot see. You have to use intelligence. Look at the Shastra, Padma Purana and others. Even though he was a little boy and he pointed out, that's how he became very popular in that.
Yeah, he started defeating all kinds of philosophy even at the age of 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
He was so powerful. He knew all the philosophy. So many stories how he learned Sanskrit. His father started teaching him Sanskrit. And as a tradition, you have to repeat it after that. And he said, Father, why are you repeating? I already know all this. His father said, okay, sorry.
The four things we don't take Madhvacharya's teaching according to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Swatagur. One is, as you said, one is that Lakshmi Devi, he considered Jiva Shakti. We don't accept that, neither we believe it. Mahaprabhu never accepted.
Lakshmi said, Lakshmi Jiva is Shakti. A Jiva Shakti, he said?
Lakshmi, yes. In Brahman Vaishnava Samaj, the book Brahman Vaishnava, Bhakti Siddhanta Sudhakar put it. He researched, he's the one who actually brought Madhvacharya's teaching more than other acharyas in our parampara. He studied himself, and then he spoke 7 days in installing Madhvacharya's deity.
Who are talking about? What's name? What his name?
What? Yeah, he's quoting Baladev. Yeah, you translated the book, English. Well, somebody, you published it. Okay, he published it. So there's four things. One thing is that the Jiva Shakti, we say Lakshmi is a Swarup Shakti. Big difference. Minute aspect and completeness. Complete Shakti is Swarup Shakti. Minute aspect of Parashakti is Jiva Shakti.
What the other three?
The other three is that they consider, you already said that one, that they consider demigod are the biggest. Now, what you say, there's a little difference actually. Madhvacharya, nine principle, one principle say there are two types of Jiva. He didn't say three types. Two types Jiva, if you look at it, nine principle. And then one, eternally liberated, conditional. Out of conditional, there are three. No, those are conditional jiva, has a three existence. But the nine principle, I think four or five principle, it says that there are two types of jiva. And then the conditioned jiva has a three types, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic.
Yeah, so he said that the jivas, its original position is in the tamagun and in rajagun.
Yeah, that's here. Not in the spiritual world.
Well,
these are considered.
That is a contradiction that Baladev Vidyabhushan found in his philosophy.
In Pramaya Ratnavali, the book he wrote, Pramaya Ratnavali,
Pramaya Ratnavali,
he already distinctly says the difference.
But he wrote it for our sampradayas, not for Madhvas. It's for ours.
But we have to understand that way, because Madhvacharya also in Nine Principles, he said there's two types of jiva. You have it, huh? In front of your computer?
I can read it. Okay. Nine Principles. So the first principle is Lord Vishnu Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Number two, all the Vedic scriptures serves as a confirmation of that truth. Number three, this material world created by God really exists. Number four, the difference between God and the jivas and material world is eternally exists. Number five, all the jivas by their original nature considered the servants of the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Number six, amongst the souls there is a gradation. Originally consist of their levels of their devotion to God, according to their devotion of God gradation. So this three gradation, and explained all about two. I know that. Number seven, liberation is considered the highest happiness in serving Him, Supreme Lord. Number eight, the means to achieve that liberation is pure devotion to God. And number nine, for the acquiring that truth knowledge, there are three paths: pratyaksha, anumana, and shabda. Pratyaksha means sensual perception, anumana means logical explanation, and shabda means confirmation of the holy scriptures. So these nine pramanas. Pramana is a philosophical conclusion, but pramana becomes prameya when it's confirmed by the sages and cited by from the scriptures, other scriptures. Pramana becomes prameya. So these prameyas, nine confirmed truth by Madhvacharya, become... Prameya means evidence, and pramana means evidence, and prameya means confirmed evidence, another way, shortly.
Twenty-second successor, his name is Bayu Birja. And in the Bayu Birja discussion, Mahaprabhu pointed out that pure bhakti is devoid of karma and jnana, and these two are prominent in your sampradaya. Mm-hmm. So he did not refer actually Madhvacharya. I was looking. It is indirectly, but not directly over there. Prabhupada didn't translate. The reason is because according to Nine Principles of Madhvacharya, the number eight or number seven, he pointed out pure bhakti is the process.
Yeah, he admitted later that you're right.
Correct.
And he
said, that's not Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya was 100% right. But the modern followers are deviated.
Yeah, that's another confirmation that even when Lord Chaitanya came less than 200 years after Madhvacharya, and that after, in these 200 years, there's so much deviation already in Madhva Sampradaya was going on. So acharyas have to come, powerful acharya has to come and clear that parampara system. That's their mission, to shake all this truth again, take them out of bottom and bring them to the top and show the people, you lost it again. Okay, thank you very much. Sorry for bad...